Joining us now from Golf Data Tech, we have John Krasnowick. John, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. So, the industry has changed in terms of how it gets sold over the years. First off, kind of give us a feel for what Golf Data Tech does, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Amazon effect.
Yeah, well, Golf Data Tech is a company that's been around for over 20 years now. There's three partners, and our goal is to help the golf equipment companies, the golf marketers, the golf courses understand the consumer and the business of the golf. And so it's a different, we're not out there tracking scores or anything like that. We're trying to understand what's going on in people's heads. So in this particular case, we get a lot of feedback from our clients about kind of what the hot topics are. And Amazon certainly is at the top of everyone's list in terms of what's happening in the retail environment. So we decided to ask golfers what their opinions were of Amazon, and that's really how this whole thing started.
Yeah, the Amazon effect is interesting because when Amazon launched as essentially a bookseller, an alternative bookseller, they were using book rate shipping, which made, they could discount the books and not get hurt by the shipping. They didn't intend necessarily to become a disruptor of at every corner of retail, as well as shipping, distribution, online payments, all that kind of stuff. They didn't set out to be the ultimate disruptor, and they are now. So when you look at the Amazon effect, as it has affected the golf retail community, what it's doing there is it similar to what it's doing every place else?
Well, there's some similarities for sure. Mm-hmm. Certain products fit the Amazon model particularly well. Other products aren't such a good fit. The example would be anything that's consumable, that is a packaged good, like golf balls. Those are most frequently purchased via convenience, because the pricing is pretty much always the same. So that's something that people will buy from Amazon, gloves, apparel. If you just want a generic golf shirt, you can certainly buy that from Amazon and you can get it delivered to your house, one click, all's good. If you're looking for products that have high involvement, such as being custom fit for a new set of irons, or you want to have your driver fine-tuned with the proper settings before you buy it, you can't really do that on Amazon, at least not yet. After their purchase of Whole Foods, I guess almost anything's possible. Right now, the club category is one where it really doesn't fit Amazon particularly well. People do buy clubs there if they're looking to buy, second, third generations, closeouts, used clubs, things that are down the road. But for new premium products, Amazon really isn't a great model for that.
Yeah, I mean, is that what you start seeing from an industry, not just the golf, but from all walks of commerce, is that in order to get people to come to your site as opposed to going to an Amazon site, do you have to start offering more of that customization? Is that kind of what you're starting to see? I know it was funny. I play hockey, so I get USA Hockey Magazine. The back page had this advertisement for True Hockey Skates. So I go out to their website, and I'm like, I wonder how much these bad boys cost, because they're 100% custom made for you specifically. And of course, the site doesn't tell me, what it costs, because it depends on what you have to go through, and you have to go to a retailer and do all this stuff. So is that kind of what we're up against?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the face of American retail is certainly changing. You're seeing it with all the shopping malls that are closing or anchor stores that are leaving shopping malls, and they're evolving, and they're becoming more experiential and less of a place to just do commerce. And I think that'll be crucial. It's an engagement with your consumer that's going to make the difference. You're not just the place for a transaction anymore. You really have to connect, which means the people working in retail have to be better trained. They have to understand the product more, because if they're not trained, I can go online and get, do it myself. So there is, in essence, a major change going on in American retail, and Amazon's probably the you know, the personification of it, if you will. But it's happening from all online merchandising and retail.
So take us through the nerdy side of this study. Like, how big was your sample size? What was your response rate? And then some of the questions that you asked, and maybe some things that you expected from the data and the results, and maybe some things you didn't expect.
Yeah, we asked it of 1,200 golfers. You know, they are in our database. It's called the Serious Golfer Database. It's we have over 40,000 people who have signed up, opted in to be involved with these surveys. It's a purely objective database. We don't have any. We try to keep all the bias out of it that we possibly can. And so in this, we asked them about, you know, where their general purchasing habits of golf equipment. We asked them about their general purchasing habits outside of golf equipment. And then we kind of dive into Amazon and try to understand how they view Amazon, and is there a difference between their golf buying and their general buying of products? And we definitely saw a difference in that if you're buying everyday products on Amazon, you know, if you're a new parent, you like to buy, you know, diapers by the case from Amazon and they get delivered to the house. It's really convenient. Price is pretty important to you because quite often, you know, mm-hmm. people who have young kids, they don't have the discretionary income. As you get into the golfing segment, price falls way down the list of what's important, and what moves way up the list is convenience. And so you start to see some significant differences in how golfers view the world versus everybody else, particularly when it comes to pricing. And they're a little less sensitive to price, a little more interested in having the convenience of the product delivered directly to them.
Well, you know, how does somebody get onto this database? Give us that. And then when they go in and they're searching for this online, are you able to suppress, like, interstitial ads from, say, Amazon that could affect the data?
Yeah. What happens if you wanted to, if any of your listeners wanted to be part of our database, you go to golfdatatech.com. It's all one word, golfdatatech, just like it sounds. And there's a place there where you can sign up to be a member of our panel. And we will, and out of the panel, we then randomly select people to participate in surveys. And when you participate, we generally try to keep it anywhere from, you know, 5 to 8 minutes long, get your thoughts on golf. And golfers love to talk about golf, so it's we have a very enthusiastic database. And in the end, if you, you respond and complete the survey, you're entered into a drawing for brand name equipment. We don't specify what the equipment is, but it's all premium brand name product. So not only do you get to participate with helping the manufacturers try to understand the market and perhaps influence the types of products and how they go about selling those products, you'll also have an opportunity to win some prizes for yourself.
All right. Well, the last nerd question, I promised. How did seasonality come into play when you're planning the data generation for this? Did you wait until the fall to begin asking people to do this when they weren't as busy actually golfing, to devote the time? I mean, when you're doing golf surveys, does it matter? Does your success rate on people filling things out depend a little bit on the season as well?
Yeah, it most certainly does. It is seasonal, perhaps not the way you might think, though, in that certainly being, you know, located where you are, there's a huge decline in participation and starts in September when SEC football starts.
No, I understand that.
Yeah. You start to see you know, people, I think a lot of the bulk of our database is male. It's I think they have other things to focus on once football season starts. So the college football season does tend to depress response rates slightly. We also find that, you know, we get our best results if we send things out on a a Thursday afternoon, because usually by that point people are winding down their work week, and Friday they have all day to do it. Thursday afternoon they're starting to look for things to do. So it's a little bit of an art form in terms of when you send things out to get the best response rates.
Again, from Golf Data Tech, John Krasnowak is joining us. And John, what kind of other trends did you see in the industry over the course of 2017?
Well, I mean, what we've seen is that, generally speaking, in golf clubs, the price of clubs is going up. I think anybody who's gone to buy a new driver has seen that, while it used to be $299, $399, you used to be able to find it, the newest, the latest, greatest. Today they're more like $399, $499, and even higher than that. So that's probably been the most significant impact on the marketplace, is that the prices have gone up. It's become a necessity, because if you look at it today, a $499 driver, which sounds expensive perhaps to some of us, the average price back in 1996, when the Big Bertha, the Greatest Big Bertha, came out, was around $499. So we went into a deep trough for about 15 years, and pricing declined very significantly. And today we're only back to really where we started some 20 years ago.
Let me ask you this, though. We're hearing a lot of talk about, should we roll the golf ball back, and, courses are getting too long and too hard and this, that, and the other thing. I mean, have you guys done any kind of a study to ask the general population, meaning the people in your database, what they feel like the problem is? I mean, do they feel like it's the golf ball? Is it the golf club? Is it technology in general? Is it just that we're all bigger and stronger? I mean, is there any data to support that, yes, it's the golf ball?
None that we've ever seen. There's an elite group of people who think that that's the issue. I mean, I go back to, you look at, to your point about the size, the strength of the athletes who now play professional golf compared to before. You look at the golf courses we all play on today. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, the common way of manicuring and what determined a really good golf course, it was plush, it was lush, Now it's firm and fast. So the ball lands and it rolls 30 yards. The old days, it landed and it stopped. Even with a driver, you never got any roll. It's just a different way of playing. The way clubs and balls can be customized and dialed into your particular swing, your swing path, your swing speed, your launch angles, all of that makes you significantly better at hitting the ball and matching your equipment to your particular game. In the big picture, what we've seen over the past, 10, 15 years is we have seen handicaps get a little better. The average handicap might have gone from 17 to 15. But if you ask the general golfing population, is golf too easy? No, they don't think so. They think golf's great the way it is. To me, as a golfer, it doesn't matter to me if Dustin Johnson hits a 350-yard drive and shoots 62. Great, good for Dustin Johnson.
Right.
Good for him. Hope he wins the tournament. But that doesn't really affect me or my perceptions of the game. So, that's my personal opinion. There's obviously others who have strong feelings in other directions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious if, when you start talking about and studying the Amazon effect, is it something that Amazon likes people to look at because it sort of allows them to puff their chests even more? Is it something they're reluctant? I mean, and I would be curious, did you ask your sample size about Amazon Prime? And I'm always curious, who uses Amazon Prime, pays the extra money to have the overnight shipping and the free shipping? For like golf balls, which are heavy, and if you go to some of the golf websites to buy balls, they can be heavy to ship if you don't get free shipping. But if you're if you're an Amazon Prime customer, free shipping next day. How does Amazon Prime affect, come into play in this study?
Yeah, Amazon Prime might have been the best marketing idea of all time, because you actually get people to pay you money. And once they pay you money, they have now become significantly more loyal to your brand. So So it is just a wonderful program from Amazon's point of view. It's very convenient as a consumer if you have it. One of my favorite quotes of all time, I got this from doing some online research. It was from Jeff Bezos, who said, my goal is to make sure that if you're not a Prime member, you're being irresponsible. So his goal is to get everybody to pay that money up front. And reality is golfers really do love Prime because the typical golfer who is a little older has the discretionary income. That little extra cost gives them a slew of benefits. You know, it makes it really easy. It makes the whole buying process a lot easier. And as I said earlier, convenience really is what a lot of this is all about. So generally speaking, golfers, they just love Amazon Prime.
Well, John, man, we really appreciate you coming on with us, and we look for some more great data coming out of Golf Data Tech.
Okay, and tell everybody to sign on up.
All right, we will do.
All right, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, John.